We continue the Shiur in Gemara. Gemara says, if you want to know a real sign that Mashiach's coming is imminent, is extremely close, and know it especially by this fact. If you see a generation or a period of time, an era, when there is a lot of suffering, a tremendous amount of suffering, one on top of the other for the Jews, know that you should await the coming of Mashiach imminently. And of course, it's very difficult to find any era, any time in Jewish history when there was not suffering. Therefore, at no time was this statement unfit, unripe, unready for the coming of Mashiach. In all generations, the Jews suffered. The whole dor v'dor, every generation, the goyim rise up against us. One empire, one kingdom, one country, or two, or many, or as in our time, just about the entire world has risen up against the Jews as the common enemy of the world. Of course, there is no logic behind it. This is just biyadua, it's a gzeira, that Esav the goy hates the Jew, and therefore today we find this mountain of sorrows, suffering, in which we can be certain that the coming of Mashiach is so close, we expect Mashiach momentarily. Momentarily means now. He warns us further, again speaking about the description of the time Mashiach's coming. Rabbi Yochanan says that Mashiach will come in a generation that will be either all the people living there will be tzaddikim, or all the people living there will be rishon. I'm trying to find a time when everyone will be a tzaddik, or even try to find a time when all will be rishon, all wicked. That seems to be an impossibility. In fact, as we once mentioned, a very famous Russia means a wicked person related to Russia, a very famous Russian once spoke to a very great tzaddik and said to this tzaddik that the tzaddik is guilty of keeping Mashiach from coming. Tzaddik asked, why am I guilty? Your sins are what's keeping Mashiach. And he said, definitely not, because the world is practically all evil. Just a few people like you, good ones, who are stopping Mashiach, because if the world was complete Rishoyim, Mashiach would come. You can't expect them all to become tzaddikim, but to become Rishoyim, that's very easy. So you, tzaddik, are the one that's holding back Mashiach. Again, of course, this is an impossibility. There cannot be ever a time when there is no tzaddik alive. So how can we have a world that's full of Rishoyim, all evil or all tzaddik? The answer is that we have a statement we learned previously, which said that Mashiach will come if the Jews will do tshuva, if they will repent. If they will repent, Mashiach will come. That would mean, if they repent, it means that all Jews are tzaddikim. Because the worst Russia, the most evil person in the world, no matter how infinite number of sins he committed, the moment he repents, he becomes pure. His record is cleansed, purified, he is considered a tzaddik. Proof is that this can be instantaneous. You have a case of instant tzaddik. The Gemara says that if a man says to a woman, Harei at mikudeshes li, remember those 9 words that you look forward to saying so anxiously under the chuppah? Harei at mikudeshes li, b'tabazu, with this ring you are mine, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. If a man says that to a woman, he says, but on condition, stipulation that you give me $1,000,000. What happens? Well, she's smart, she'll give it to him. But what happens is that if she does not give it to him, then she's not married. There is a tenai, there is a condition, it's a conditional marriage, conditional kedushin, and the condition must be fulfilled before she is married. If that condition is not fulfilled, there are no kiddushin at all. It has not been legalized whatsoever. Now, the Gemara says, what if the man says to the woman, you are kudeshes to me, you are mine, on condition. Condition is that I am a Talmud Chacham. I'm very learned. The Gemara says that he used to be tested. If we find that he knows a certain amount that the Gemara stipulates, then she is married. If he does not know it, she is unmarried. What if a person says, this final point, a man says to a woman, you are mekudeshes to me, on condition that I am a tzaddik, that I am a tzaddik. A tzaddik means one who is pure, holy, without sin. The Gemara says, if we know, if we are certain, we have witnesses, we have seen that this person is a Rasha, he has desecrated all the mitzvahs of the Torah, Rasha Gomor, complete evil person. Now this statement was made, let's say, Saturday night, late Saturday night, when they drank a little. And we know that that day, until that evening, we know that he was a complete Rasha. That Shabbos he spent not as a Jew should spend, the past week, the past years, and so on. That's what we know. Now, when he made this statement, what would we expect? He said, you are married to me only on condition that I am a tzaddik gomor, complete tzaddik, perfect. We would readily say, we would guess, that is, that she's not married, right? The condition is not fulfilled. The Gemara says wrong. Very wrong. That woman remains in a questionable state. We cannot be sure whether she's married or not, which means that she is not allowed to get married to a second party until this is resolved by what? At least by a divorce. Because she is suffek mekudeshes. How could she be suffek? What is the doubt? We know positively that this person was a mechal shabbos, this person was an avayon, he committed every sin possible. Why is there a doubt? The Gemara answers, because when he made that statement, instantaneously, at that very moment, the very instant he said it, he might have thought in his mind these words, Hashem, I sinned, I repent, I will not return to those sins. And that moment he became a perfect tzaddik. That's how fast one can convert from one extreme, a Rasha gomer, complete Rasha, to a tzaddik gomer, to complete tzaddik. That's how simple and quick there can be a conversion to complete tzaddik. Now, if you have a generation where they are evil, most people are evil, but then something happens, something occurs where they all receive a feeling of inspiration, they are inspired to repent, and everyone becomes a tzaddik, the whole generation is a generation of tzaddik, and the Mashiach will come. The Gemara says, therefore, that through tshuva, through repentance, we can have Mashiach come, or if they will not repent, meaning if the people are that bad, then Hashem will set up a king, a harsh king, a harsh kingdom that will issue very harsh decrees against the Jews and will forcefully bring them back to religion. This is what is hinted at in this statement. Mashiach will come either the generation that's pure, tzaddikim, that means they're all good, through their own volition, their own will, their own efforts, they'll serve Hashem, or through a generation that's complete Rishonim. But they will be tzaddikim through tshuva that's forced upon them. In either case, Mashiach will come through repentance, through tshuva, through the Jews being pure. The Gemara adds too, there is a pasuk, a sentence in the Torah, Shayahu, which says, Hashem says, Be'ito achishena, I will send Mashiach to you. Be'ito, when the time comes, achishena, I will rush the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara says this statement, these two words, are very contradictory. Because Be'ito means when the time comes. That means there is a scheduled time for Mashiach to come. A certain date has been set aside. And on that scheduled date, Mashiach will come. Nothing will bring Mashiach earlier than that date. Second word of that sentence is, Achishena, I will rush the coming of Mashiach. I will hurry his coming prior to that date. which means that the scheduled date will be nullified. It will come before that date. The Gemara asks, these two words contradict each other. Will he come with a scheduled date? Then he will not be hurried. If he comes quickly, that means he'll come before the scheduled date. The Gemara answers, these are two separate cases. Mashiach may come either ita, the scheduled time, or before the scheduled time. This will depend upon the conduct of the Jews. If the Jews will not deserve any better, if they will not deserve it, they will not, if their conduct will not be good in accordance with the Torah and mitzvahs, then Mashiach will definitely come, but he'll come on the scheduled date. He will not come before that date. If, however, the Jews will be zelche, that means that they will do tshuva, and they will daven, they will pray to Hashem, they will cry out to Hashem to rescue them from the hands of their oppressors, to bring Mashiach more quickly. Hashem says, in that case, you turn to me with sincerity, Achishena, I will hurry the coming of Mashiach. He will come much before the scheduled date. And this, therefore, we understand now why the date of Mashiach's coming is kept a secret. Why wasn't it publicized? Why doesn't the Torah reveal to us exactly what that date is? The answer is because if we would know the date, then imagine those people living 1,000 years before that time is coming, or hundreds of years, or even 100 years before it's coming. They would give up hope. They wouldn't even try. They would make no effort at all to hope for Mashiach. They would figure it's not during their lifetime, so there's no hope. There's no hope in their heart. A Jew is supposed to live with the constant hope of Mashiach coming. And therefore, we have this additional point. The date is unknown. But should it even be a later date, know that you can bring Mashiach earlier. If you daven, if you pray hard, if you serve Hashem right, you can hurry the coming of Mashiach. Also, the date was known. Imagine then, there'd be no tshuva when it came close to that date. Let's see, if Mashiach did not come until that actual time, the period of time, the Jews would forget about repentance, forget about serving Hashem closely, because they would say, we have no problems. Mashiach is coming now, so why worry about mitzvahs and serving Hashem? Now, would it seem to you that that is impossible? Think for a moment. Let us say if the date was written down, the actual date was written down as this year, or around these years, the very close, immediate future. You would think that people would begin to think of their goal, come closer to Hashem, do mitzvahs, and prepare for that awesome holy moment. And yet, we find, very tragically, very sadly, that due to the fact that Hashem granted us, favored us, with the miracle of Israel, the first time in close to 2,000 years we have, to a degree, a land of our own, we should celebrate and thank Hashem for it, and increase, intensify our prayers, that now that we have the beginning of the Gula, we should be zochet to the coming of Mashiach and complete it. Instead, we have many people who erroneously, mistakenly, tragically, turn away from the hope of Mashiach. In their eyes, Mashiach has already come. They have the state of Israel. There's no reason to mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av is no longer a day of mourning for them. They don't think about praying for Mashiach. This is it. This is their Geula. And that is why the Gemara says that Hashem did not reveal that date, because if it's too far away from the date, people would give up hope. If it was too close to the date, then people would stop davening. This way, we know the date is a definite one. He cannot come later than that date, but he could come earlier if we daven and do tshuva. Therefore, we increase our efforts and our hopes, our anticipation of Mashiach's coming, with this additional effort, we can bring Mashiach that much closer. And again, these two words, Be'ito Achishena, the Gemara's translation is that at the scheduled time he will come. And of course, we are allowed to mention the scheduled time, not the scheduled time of Mashiach's coming. Scheduled time we do not know. But what might be the scheduled time, the latest possible scheduled time, would be the year 5960. Mashiach could not be scheduled to come later than that, because, as we've stated before, the world was created to last for exactly 6,000 years, which means that the last moment for Tchias HaMesim possibly is the year 6000. Mashiach's coming is 40 years prior to that, which would set the possible latest possible date at 5960. But of course, that is not the scheduled date. We said it's the latest possible. Scheduling could be much, much earlier than that. And no matter how much earlier or so it is, certainly by the many tefillos and efforts on the part of tzaddikim and other Jews in bringing Mashiach closer, we surely have merited to subtract a good deal of time from the scheduled date so that we can look forward to Mashiach's coming now. This same pasuk, I want to mention this for the sake of the zechus of Vayimedaber Hashem Emelei, that my father Shlomo used to translate this pasuk, Be'ito Achishena. They said that whatever the scheduled date is, if the Jews are zocher, Mashiach will come before that date. If not, he will come on that date. What will happen on that date will be, and it will not happen very slowly, but the Jews will begin slowly to recoup their losses, begin slowly to move from the so-called spiritual slums, to move up to the rich wealth of Eretz Yisrael, to go back to build the base of Mikdash. When that time comes, it will not drag. But Be'ito, the time does come, Mashiach comes, Achishena. Hashem said, I will rush things so quickly that lightning flashes. Mashiach will come. The Jews will enjoy the victory over their enemies. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. We'll have the kingdom restored. The Jews will rise to their rightful status once again. All this in extreme speed. Achishena. Now the Gemara says, there is a pasuk which says, by the Navi, that Mashiach will come in the form of a poor person riding on a mule. He will descend to us as in the form of an oni, poor person riding on this mule. That's how we will recognize him. And this, of course, is the symbol of the coming of Mashiach, and this is the one that we await. The Gemara says that the governor in Israel said to one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Shmuel, he said to him mockingly, jeering about this, he said, you claim that Mashiach will come riding on a mule. Well, out of the goodness of my heart, I want to offer a contribution. I have a stallion, beautiful white horse. I offer this as a gift to Mashiach. Instead of riding on an old mule, let him ride my wonderful white horse. This, of course, was said mockingly. Shmuel answered, you don't know what kind of a mule he has. This is jet-powered. The white horse that you offer, does that white horse have 100 different colors? The governor said, no. He said, well, the mule of Mashiach has 100 colors. With this, he stopped him. Of course, this was not meant literally. He said this, a foolish statement deserved a seemingly foolish answer. Actually, though, what he meant was his 100 colors means characteristics. The powers of this mule are not those of an animal. This stands for all the holiness, the Kedusha, the 10 Sfiras multiplied. The mule, as the Zayde Kodesh says, besides being physically a miracle type of animal, the one that Avraham Avinu rode on Rabbeinu wrote on. But in addition, the word chamor is different than the word sus. A sus is the symbol of a steed in war, in battle. Battle means those who do not participate in Torah, they are rough, and without peace, active in the wrong field. Mule is a symbol of a Talmud Chacham, because Yisachar, the tribe of Yisachar, were blessed. Yisachar Chamor Gorim. They will adopt, they will take upon themselves the burden of the study of Torah. They'll be the Talmidei Chachamim, learned ones and sages, carrying on themselves the burden of Torah as a mule does. Zaydik Kodesh is the word Chamor, Hashatev is Chacham Mufla Vedav Rabbanan. Outstanding Chacham, a leader of rabbis, this is what Chamor means. So this is the symbol of Mashiach. He will be this leader, the 100 colors of Torah, which he will come with, different than a horse, which stands for only physical battle. That is the difference, that's the reason for this mule. The Gemara tells us the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Shmuel Levi was one of the outstanding rabbis of the Gemara. He is very famous. The story of his capturing, taking away the sword from the angel of death. Shmuel Levi is one of those who never experienced death physically. His time came to pass away. He was brought to the gates of Gan Eden by the angel of death, because of a certain major mitzvah he had done in his life. He took the sword from the angel of death and leaped over the gates into Gan Eden and said, come and get me. And of course, the angel could not go inside, so he remained there, remained in Gan Eden without actually dying, without the experience of dying. This is how great he was. And he, the Gemara says about the Shmuel Levi, that at one time he came to the cave of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal. This is a cave, burial place in the city of Miron. Those who were privileged to be in Israel were there, or those who were expected to go should know that this spot is definitely the holiest, the one of the holiest spots in Eretz Yisrael. You go to Israel, that's the one specific place in the Galil. You should make every effort to go to visit and to daven at that place. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi came to this caver, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal in Miron, the door to the opening of this cave, stone cave, and there he met Eliyahu Hanavi, who was standing at the opening of this cave, at the cave of Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal. During Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal's lifetime, the Zayin HaKadosh, we find Eliyahu Hanavi used to come to Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal constantly. We used to study Torah together, and Eliyahu Hanavi used to call Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal Rebbe. He used to regard Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal as a Rebbe, which is just about the only case we find in the Gemara. Because in all cases, whenever Eliyahu came to a rabbi in the Gemara, he came as a teacher of that rabbi. In Shimon Yochai Zal's case, he came comparatively as a student. So here at the entrance to the cave of Shimon Yochai Zal, Yeshua ben Levi met Eliyahu Hanavi. He greeted him, and he said to Eliyahu Hanavi, I would like to ask you a question. You, being an inhabitant of heaven, could you tell me if I will receive Gan Eden, Olam Haba? Of course, it's a very sad state of affairs. If Yeshua ben Levi asked that question, what should we say if he had to ask that question? But he asked this question of Eliyahu Hanavi, and Eliyahu Hanavi answered to Yeshua ben Levi, you will receive Olam Haba if this master here consents to it. This master here, Yeshua ben Levi said, I saw only two of us, but I heard a third voice. This master referred to the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem who was present there. Hearing a third voice, of course, meant I heard the affirmative answer to my question. I was going to get a moment. Then he said to Eliyahu Levi, I have another question to ask you. My question is, you tell me, when is Moshiach coming? Reveal that time to me. Eliyahu Levi answered to Yeshua Levi, I suggest that you go ask Moshiach yourself. Why not ask him? Fine. And so he said, I will, tell me where he is. We'll come back to this in just one moment, but we cannot help but stop here for a second, pause with amazement at the controversial item. A lot of controversy over this item, and here we see definite proof that those who argue against this are literally blind. Question about the mitzvah of going to visit and seal the grave of a tzaddik. There are some people who are opposed to it. Go to Israel to visit graves. Is that what a tourist does in Israel, visit graves? Or to go to a grave of a tzaddik to daven there? Shouldn't you go to shul better? The importance of a grave of a tzaddik is so much that here we see that Eliyahu HaNavi, who lived in heaven and could have very easily and did very easily continually speak to and study Torah with Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal in Gan Eden, still came to visit the grave of Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal, which means that not just the neshama in heaven but also the grave itself, the place of burial, is that sacred and that holy that Eliyahu HaNavi came down to visit the great Rosh Hashanah and the Shekhinah, even the spirit of Hashem, showed kaviyachol respect for the Rosh Hashanah seal. Imagine then, we could see very clearly how big, how great the Zechus is of people of our stature, any Jew, who cannot visit Gan Eden to speak to the Mishmei Chayza, but who have the ability to go to the Tzio, the Keva, the grave of Mishmei Chayza, and Miron, how much we should strive for that privilege, and how much can be accomplished there. As is written, that the grave of the Tzadikim, these graves, a person can daven there and know that the Shekhinah is close by, and that his tefillah will have so much more effect, because at that spot the spirit of the tzaddik buried there will assist him, help him, that his tefillah should rise up to heaven and it should receive the reply. We see that the Yeshua Levi also visited the tzir of Shemir Chorizal. What else was he doing there? So no person is too big or too great to be able to visit a tzir. And that's why it is customary among those who are really Baalei Amuna, Jews with faith, religion, that they often, as often as possible, go to the graves of these great tzaddikim, Shmi Choyzal, or even the Avos HaKadoshim, the Chevron, the cave of four couples, daven in the place of the burial of Adon Harishon and his wife Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and their wives, the cave of Rachel, the cave of David HaMelech, the kvarim of all the great tzaddikim, past and present, tzaddikim of our time too, who are buried, they too can assist us immensely. As the Zayin HaKadosh says, that we today would have no chance whatsoever of existing if it wasn't for the tefillos, the prayers of the tzaddikim who passed away. So we know that it is within their realm of their power to help us, and that's the reason why we should visit their tzion, the request of them to assist us, to what? If we need material assistance, also. In a especially we should be zochet to purify ourselves, to do tshuva, and to really serve Hashem in the way Hashem wants them. The way Hashem wants and the way they're thinking of themselves to want. Now, as we said, that Shimon Levi asked Eliyahu Navi, when is Moshiach coming? And he replied, go ask him yourself. Get a direct answer. So he asked, where is Moshiach now? Eliyahu Navi answered, Moshiach is standing at the entrance to the gate of Rome, and there he is sitting among poor, suffering people, those who are very ill, stricken with different types of diseases, and they all have this different type of infections that are bandaged. They keep on removing the bandage, putting on new ones. You'll find him among them. He described the type of bandages that are used. The point is that these are all people who are suffering. And so he proceeded to this place, the entrance to Rome. There he found Mashiach, and he asked him, he said to him, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amori, greetings my Rebbe and my Master. And Mashiach replied, greetings to you, son of Levi. Name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, greetings to you, son of Levi. So he said to Mashiach, can my Master tell me, Master means my mentor, you tell me when you are coming? Mashiach replied, one word. He said, today. Yeshua Levi returned to Eliyahu Navi. In other words, the interview was closed, finished. Went back to Eliyahu Navi. And Eliyahu Navi asked him, tell me what conversation is this? What did he say to you? He said to me, greetings to you, son of Levi. So Eliyahu Navi said, that means that he assured you, you and your father both will have a place in Gan Eden, that you are assured. Now the Yeshua Levi said to Eliyahu Navi, but I feel that he lied to me. He was telling me an untruth, because he said he's coming today, and the day is just about over, he did not come. Eliyahu Navi answered, he did not lie, he told you the truth. He told you the word today, which is the beginning of a pasuk, the beginning of a sentence in Tehillim, Ayem im v'keiloi sishmo. Today, if you listen to the voice of Hashem, Mashiach will come. That's why he said today. In other words, every day he's prepared, he's ready to come, on that one condition, if you obey Hashem, Mashiach said, I will come immediately. Therefore, his word was a complete truth. Now, this story requires a little more analysis. In order to understand, not to take this too quickly, note the exchange of words between Eliyahu Navi and Yeshua Levi. When he asked, where is Moshiach? Where can I find him? He said, he is standing at the gate of Rome. Now, would you expect Moshiach to be at the gates of Rome? He would certainly be at least at the gates of Jerusalem, at least the gates of Gan Eden. Where is Mashiach? Where is he? We know that Mashiach is in heaven awaiting the time when he'll be released, sent down to us. Secondly, Mashiach is among those who are suffering illnesses, diseases, infections. Who are those suffering people? Now, the Rizal, the HaKadosh, had a Talmud who was his closest student, closest disciple. It was Reb Chaim Vitalzal. Chaim Vitalzal was unusual in the Kedusha. His neshama was so holy that the Rizal came to this world, he came down to this world just to teach the Sifrei Kabbalah to Reb Chaim Vitalzal. But before Reb Chaim Vitalzal became a close Talmud of the Arizal, he had a Rebbe prior to that Arizal, that really was the Alshich Zal, the Alshich HaKodesh. Alshich HaKodesh was one of the greatest rabbis of that time. This was 400 years ago. The Alshich HaKodesh later tried to become a very close Talmud of the Arizal too. And he felt very badly that his student, Chaim Vital Zal, was much more close to the Rizal than he was. The Alshar HaKadosh is known as one of the great holy people of all time. And this is his statement. But he said, how can we say that Mashiach was at the gates of Rome? There are better places to be than at this place of Tumah. Secondly, the fact remains that we cannot even use that term Rome, because we have a story in the Gemara later on where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the chief rabbi of the Gemara, was very closely befriended with King Antoninus, the Roman king. And the Gemara says that the Roman king was so desirous of learning Torah from Yehuda Hanasi that he built a subterranean tunnel leading from his palace to the house of Yehuda Hanasi. Each day he'd go through this tunnel, he'd come to Yehuda Hanasi's house, there learn Torah, and then return back to his own palace so that none of his soldiers would know that the Roman king was that close to the leader of the Jews, chief rabbi. Now, would that be logical or possible, physically possible, that from Rome he built a tunnel to Yehuda Hanasi, was able to travel, walk through this every day? Rome on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, and here Israel, at that distance, it takes at least a couple of hours by jet plane to get travel from one to the other. How could there have been a tunnel from Rome to Rabbeinu HaKadosh's home? The answer is, therefore, that the word Rome does not refer to the Rome of Tumah, Tome Rome in Italy. It refers to a city in Israel called Rome. Also, this is a city in the Galilee, northern part of the Galilee, between the near Tzfas, Tiberias, Tiberia. That city of Rome was close, that village of Rome was close to where the Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived, Tzipori. And there, the Roman king built his palace to be in the land of Israel, for obvious reasons. To them, the land of Israel was also considered the Holy Land. So that's why when he went from the gates of Rome to the Rabbeinu HaKadosh's home, it was a short distance by tunnel. This is where Mashiach was, at this gate of Rome. In other words, in heaven, corresponding to this, opposite this gate of Rome, of the city of Rome in Israel. Why this city and not Jerusalem? For this we have the Gemara, which states that because the last of the Sanhedrin, last time we had the Supreme Court, the official congregation of rabbis, Sanhedrin, they dwelt not in Yerushalayim, near the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Galilee, Tiberias. And because that was the last place they were, that is why when Mashiach comes, he will descend at that spot in the Galilee. And that's why Mashiach is waiting up in heaven directly opposite that spot, so he can come down immediately without any hesitation, without any loss of time. This explanation fits completely, perfectly. These are the words of the Alshar HaKadosh, which explains why the Navi said he is at the gates of Rome, meaning the Rome in Israel in the Galilee. When he said that there surround him these people who are suffering, this is because the Arizal explains that Mashiach himself is Sovil Madin. That means Mashiach himself, throughout all these generations, his soul is in heaven, and he suffers the agony and torment, pains, for the sake of the Jews. Because of the sins of the Jews, they would, Chas V'Shalom, deserve to be eradicated, to suffer much more than they do. Mashiach has taken upon himself the suffering, this Yisurim, to help to forgive, to erase part of the sins of the Jews, to rescue them from a much worse fate than they have. Now, there are many tzaddikim too, who are willing to suffer also, not for their sins, but to suffer to have the sins of the Jews forgiven. It is among these tzaddikim that Mashiach dwells. Because why do they suffer? for the sins of the Jews for one thing, but also to subtract, to decrease from Mashiach's suffering, to remove some of his suffering and adopt it for themselves. Among those, Mashiach stays until the time comes when he will be released, be able to come down to the Jews and to effect the complete rescue, the complete gula. We know too that Mashiach said that Mashiach was greeted by Yeshua Levi with the words, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amori, greetings to my Rebbe and my mentor, when he had actually never learned any Torah from him. My Rebbe, he said to him. This proves that if a person is a chief rabbi, then he is to be accepted as such by all Jews, even those who never had the opportunity of being a student of this chief rabbi. Even though they never learned a word from him, the fact that he's a chief rabbi, he deserves this awe, this respect, a title of Rabbi Omori, as Rabbi Shmuel Levi called Moshiach. Now, final point where Moshiach said, today, I'm coming today. Rabbi Shmuel Levi was disappointed and he said to Eliyahu Navi, Moshiach lied to me. He said he's coming today, he has, and he has not come. Now that is strange because the day was not over yet. How could he accuse Mashiach of lying? He still might come. Where was the Emuna? He should have said, Mashiach said he's coming today. I believe implicitly that he is coming today, even if he did not say it. Plus the fact that he said it, surely he's telling you the truth. Why did he say he's lying? The answer is it is a known fact. It's brought many times that one day before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi will come to the Jews to be mevaser, to give them the good news, carry the good tidings that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. The coming of Mashiach will be preceded by Eliyahu Navi one day earlier to say Mashiach is coming tomorrow. Now here, Yeshua Levi said he must be lying because yesterday Eliyahu did not come to us to say that Mashiach is coming today. Therefore, it must be a false statement. Levi answered, it is not a false statement. This he replied, it is true that I did not come yesterday to notify the Jews of the coming of Mashiach today. But, Hayim im bekeli tishmo, it is true that they will come this mevasa. Eliyahu the day before, the day before the scheduled time of Mashiach's arrival. And then he will come a day earlier to notify them. But it is also possible that Mashiach will come through a sudden surge of tshuva on the part of the Jews. If they will do tshuva, if they will all join together and do mitzvahs, for example, if they will keep one Shabbos, we don't need Eliyahu Navi to come a day before to notify us. They'll both come together because the tshuva on the part of the Jews will merit see the coming of Mashiach immediately, instantaneously. This was the answer of Eliyahu Navi, that today, if the Jews listen to the voice of Hashem, you can have Mashiach, even though there was no pre-notice the day before. And this is the major message he brought back. To know that Mashiach is coming when? Today. Depending upon who? Upon Mashiach? No. Depending upon the Jews, depending upon us. It is up to us. We have the power to bring Mashiach. Do we need the assistance of the rest of the Jews in the world? Better, of course, if we have it. But the Gemara says, if you listen to my voice, who is the you? All Jews combined? Again, better if they did unite to obey Hashem. But even if one community would unite in itself, and all return to Hashem wholeheartedly, and they will be sure that Mashiach's word will come true, Hayim, he will come that day. Let's try to be that community, that group, that unit. In ourselves, in our hearts, let's return to Hashem with our whole heart, with our whole true faith. Faith in Hashem, faith in the Torah Kedosha, faith in the Tzaddikim, and the zechus of that faith. We will deserve, the entire Klal Yisrael deserve to see the coming of Mashiach, our eyes, to witness the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.